Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to our great big Monday show here on Catholic Answers Live. Thanks for everybody who stopped by and said hello at the Los Angeles Religious Ed Conference on Friday. And thanks especially to EWTN, Tom Price, and all the people there at the radio department of EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network who allowed us to come in and use their booth to broadcast this show. So many nice people came by, and it was just a real, real pleasure to be there. This hour, we talk about roadblocks to the faith. It seems so hard these days for so many to embrace the Christian faith, especially to embrace it fully and without reservation. And certainly part of that is that the culture is throwing up roadblocks to faith, whether those roadblocks are intellectual, emotional, or spiritual. How do we get ourselves past those roadblocks? And maybe for many of us, even more vitally, how do we help our children and other loved ones get past the many roadblocks to the faith in today's world? Roadblocks to the faith is our topic. 888-318-7884 is our number. 888-318-7884. Our guest this hour is my good friend, Don Johnson. Don has been a radio personality for a long time. As a matter of fact, we have shared a studio on many mornings when we used to fill in for Patrick Madrid, but we're far apart now, and it's nice to see you again, Don. Don is author, speaker, filmmaker. He made the movie Convinced. He wrote a book called How to Talk to a Skeptic, an easy-to-follow guide for natural conversations and effective apologetics, and now he's got a brand-new movie coming out sometime this summer about the sexual revolution. Right, Don?
Yeah, it's going to be good, I think.
It's going to be a good movie.
I know you were just talking to Mark. You were just talking to Mark Brumley about it, and he's one of the few people that have seen a rough cut of the film, and so he didn't throw it completely in the trash, so that's good. No, we're excited about it. 50th anniversary of Humanae Vitae. We've talked about this a little bit before, Si, but probably the premier event in the 20th century amid a whole bunch of huge world-changing events. Sexual revolution is right up there as far as world-changing. So,
yeah, that's an excellent point that you made. I have to express to you the depth of my hurt feelings that Mark Brumley has seen a rough cut of this film, and I barely even know anything about it. Does that seem fair to you, Don? I mean, who are you closer to, me or Mark Brumley? All right,
life is fair, Si. Let's be honest. It's just true. Not fair.
That's not an excuse to make it more unfair, Don Johnson. So roadblocks to the faith. You wrote that book, How to Talk to a Skeptic, and many of us don't even know how to talk to our children. Honestly, I mean that truthfully. It's hard to start conversations with your children, especially once they get to about middle school, until they're maybe 30, about these very vital things.
Easily the most common question I get, Si, if I'm at a conference, just at a parish mission, preaching a mission in Indiana last week. I mean, probably 10 to 1, the questions are, my kid is wandering away from the faith, yeah, or is not interested, what can I do? It's a huge issue. And yeah, I mean, I think, you know, there's 100 roadblocks. You hear about them every day on Catholic Answers Live. Obviously, people have all sorts of reasons that they're rejecting the faith. I actually think the premier one is one that even most skeptics don't realize they have, in particular Protestant skeptics of the faith, and that's an underlying materialism. I think we get that as far as, you know, the world at large, atheists, agnostics, and non-religious people. And you think, well, why don't you accept Christianity, particularly the Catholicism? Well, they're going to say, listen, you know, Christians are a bunch of superstitious people who believe a bunch of things that just aren't true. I mean, you believe in a God, but we know that that's just a cultural construct that was just made up by ignorant and superstitious people a long time ago. It's a psychological crutch to give them comfort, all these things. You know, you believe in the guy in the sky, but we know that that's not true.
Yeah.
And then you just go down the list, you know. It's like, well, you believe in demons and angels. And I mean, you might as well believe in Peter Pan, right? I mean, it's just like fairies. Yeah. Those things don't exist. You believe that the church is a special place, you know. You believe that the Bible's a special book, all of these things, a supernatural book. We know that it was just written by men. It's just like any other book. And so the culture at large, I think, tends to look at Christianity and say, you guys believe too much about the world, right? Like, you believe a bunch of stuff that isn't true. And actually, the world is much less than you think it is, right? We're not living in some sort of supernatural realm. It's just, you know, they use the word just and only a lot. Like, we are just bodies. You know, we are just matter. That's all there is. There is no such.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, most believers get that. Like, all right, so if we're going to reach those people, we need to get them to understand that maybe there's more to the world than we thought. But Cy, I actually, as I was journeying into the Catholic Church, I actually realized this about myself. And then as I talked to a lot of non-Catholic Christians about why they reject Christianity, I think that this came up actually even more so perhaps from Protestants. So you think, you know, what does your average, you know, evangelical Christian or whatever think about the Catholic Church? Thinks, you know what? You guys are a little bit superstitious. You believe too much about the world, right? You believe you believe that that certain men have a particular position. We know that those priests are just men, you know, just and only. You believe that the Eucharist is the body and blood of Christ. We know that it's just crackers and wine or juice, the way it should be, you know, for a good Baptist, this sort of thing, right? But you guys believe that there's more to the world than there actually is. And I found myself at some point thinking, you know what? I'm just like those atheists that I've been talking to. Like, on what basis do I think that it's just crackers and you know, wine? On what basis do I think that priest is just another man? On what basis do I think the church is just another institution, you know, basically another social club? And I realized those are all just presuppositions. Like, those, I don't have any real reason to believe those things any more than an atheist materialist has to believe those things. And so I find that even talking with Protestants, one of the major roadblocks that you have to get by is sort of materialist presuppositions, right? Like the materialism of the culture at large actually infects even non-Catholic Christians quite a bit. So that's sort of a starting point for me, one of the major roadblocks I found.
888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. So if we see these roadblocks, they're identifiable, and yet we can't seem to help our loved ones pass them, Don, the roadblocks to faith. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, part of it is that we haven't done a great job of teaching them the faith. You know, again, as I go to these parish missions and preach, it's the cradle Catholics that are often most enlightened, you know, by some of the things so I do this series, for example, you know, uncovering the treasures of the faith is one of the series that I preach at parish missions. And it's not intended for non-Catholics. That's the thing, right? Uncovering the treasures of the Catholic faith. Well, you think, oh, I'm gonna bring all of my non-Catholic friends. Good, you know, you should do that.
Yeah.
But it's actually the Catholics that come to me after and say, wow, I mean, I never really thought about the Catholic faith that way.
Yeah.
And so part of it is not just assuming that our kids have a sort of deep understanding of the faith. And of course, this is what we do here on Catholic Answers. I say we because I feel part of the family side. But
yeah,
I mean, that so many people, even cradle Catholics, have their faith has been deepened by understanding more what the church actually teaches. And so, I mean, that, you know, that's kind of what we do here on the radio. It's not just what it teaches, but why it teaches that and the beauty and depth of that, I think, is very attractive. It's very attractive to young people. I met a high schooler this week in Indiana. None of his family is Catholic. All right. This guy's like 17 years old. He was in RCIA. He's entering the church now in a couple of weeks here at the Easter Vigil. And what an amazing story. Here's a high schooler, not somebody you'd think would be like, you know, if you're going to buck your family and be a rebel, it's to go, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll or whatever. This guy's being a rebel, joining the Catholic Church because he sees, you know, he sees the beauty and the truth of it. So, yeah, part of it is just getting the word out there, you know.
888-31-TRUTH is the number. We're talking about roadblocks to faith, and maybe in a particular way, how we can help those that we love to overcome the many roadblocks the world throws up to faith. Don Johnson is just the guy to have that conversation with. He made the movie Convinced people who became convinced that the Catholic faith is true. Among those people was himself. And so I highly recommend Convinced to you, and I hope that if you have a question for Don, give us a call, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with your calls for Don Johnson after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Trent Horn. Are you looking for a dynamic Catholic speaker to present at your next conference or parish event? Well, we've got a whole host of speakers who are eager to share the truth of the Catholic faith in your community. Go to CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com to get all the information you need to make your event the talk of the town. That's CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
God helps those who help themselves. Preach the gospel always. When necessary, use words. We all hear sayings like these, and we assume they come from the Bible, the saints, or famous Christian writers. Nobody can seem to place their origin, but by sheer repetition, they've acquired a halo of truth. In my new book, What the Saints Never Said, I look at over 40 of these well-known sayings and track them back to their original sources. You'll be surprised at what I found. Some are close to what was really said. Many were misattributed or twisted beyond their original meaning, and more than a few of these sayings were simply made up. I hope by setting the record straight, I can make you aware of the theological errors that can lead us away from the faith and offer you authentic quotes from scripture, saints, and scholars that will draw you closer to our faith. Get your copy of What the Saints Never Said by calling 1-888-291-8000, by visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Do you enjoy tedious lectures full of facts you'll never use? We didn't think so. That's why we're launching the Council of Trent, Trent Horn's engaging new podcast. Every week, you'll get lively lessons in Catholic teaching, as well as a new conversation roadmap that will help you share your Catholic faith with anyone, anytime, anywhere. Visit TrentHornPodcast.com now to find out how you can subscribe to this exciting new podcast.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, Super Friday show. Don Johnson, our guest this hour. Don is the producer and maker of the film Convinced. He's also the author of How to Talk to a Skeptic, an easy-to-follow guide for natural conversations and effective apologetics. I need that book. I need to work on my natural conversations a lot, Don. But we're talking about roadblocks to the faith today. We're talking about roadblocks that get in the way in these very strange times we live in, to people fully, joyfully, and completely accepting the Christian faith. 888-318-7884 is the number if you have a question in that regard. Let's go to John in Dallas, Texas. Don and John, you are on with Don. Your question, please.
Hi. I have a question. I have two older sons that are in the 20s who've fallen away from the faith, which is a big drag for his mother, their mother, and I. But one of my sons, his argument for falling away from his Catholic faith was, if you have 50 priests and you put them in a room and you ask them a question, you'll get 50 different answers. And I mean, you know, it's the kind of thing where, you know, I read Catholic Answers magazine, I listen to Catholic Answers radio, and there's lots of times when you hear situations in which priests are giving differing advice to people. You know, oh, it's okay that I don't elevate the host during Mass. Oh, it's okay you're divorced and remarried. That's fine to go to communion. I mean, so that was his argument. I was just curious as to what your thoughts were on that.
Sure, yeah, good question. And, I mean, a half-decent argument. It sounds actually actually more like an objection to Protestantism. I ran into a lot of that talking with converts from Protestantism, right, that there is no ultimate authority. You go to 50 different churches. Not only are you going to get 50 different answers from pastors, but here's one of the differences. At 50 different Protestant churches, you're likely to get 50 different doctrinal statements. That's not the case with the Catholic Church. And so a couple of points on this. One, what question is he asking the priests, right? I mean, there are certain questions that, yes, we have all sorts of different opinions on. The church has not spoken authoritatively. I think actually Mark in the last hour, in answering the question about tattoos, as far as I know, there isn't an authoritative, answer from the church on tattoos. And so he said, you know what? Hey, people have different opinions on this. And, you're just consider it closely in your own situation. There's plenty, like you said, there's plenty of questions like that, right? What cereal do the priests like, this sort of thing? Yes, you'll get different answers. Is it, though, a question about actual teaching of the church? And here, I think you might want to be careful in asking the priest, all right, what is the official teaching of the church? And that is something that we can look up, right? I mean, that's something we have authoritative teaching from the church, that you have the documents, you can go and look and see. If the priest happens to teach something contrary to that, well, then the priest is wrong. Priests are not infallible. Every word they speak is not necessarily correct. You can go to the church documents and see if they're not correct about this. And in this, John, I would actually say that the Catholic Church has a huge leg up on the various Protestant denominations, and it's one reason people do become Catholic, is that there is an actual official teaching of the church, right? Like, you can go to the magisterial documents, you can look at the catechism, you can see, all right, what's the position of the church on this? And frankly, regardless of what any Catholic happens to say, because there is a lot of Catholics, frankly, that either don't know the teaching or say the wrong thing, we do have that authoritative teaching, something that Protestant churches do not ultimately. And so I get his objection, but his objection doesn't, I don't think, actually stand in relation to the official authoritative, not only teaching, but claim of the Catholic Church.
John, your response.
That makes a lot of sense to me. I hadn't thought about asking him which questions he's talking about and whether they really are doctrinal issues that he's concerned with or sort of non-substantive issues. You know, priest preference and different things like that. I think that's a good, I appreciate that response because that's going to help me formulate my response to him.
Okay. All right. Great, John. Thank you very, very much for that call. Don Johnson is our guest, and we are talking about obstacles or roadblocks, I should say, to the faith. Man, it just seems like on a daily basis, the culture comes up with new roadblocks for people to the faith. Let's go to Aaron in Pueblo, Colorado, listening on 970 AM there. Aaron, your question for Don.
Hello, Don. Thank you guys for taking my call. Don, what you said, well, to set a stage, I am one of your non-Catholic Christian brethren. I am one of those grape juice and cracker Baptists, unfortunately. but what you had to say earlier really reverberated with me about the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist and the materialism. That's a really good take. Something I've thought similarly to is, why we react in such a way. Is it a result of the Reformation and the Renaissance that causes us to see things materially? And I've done a lot of research, a lot of reading on the Eucharist. I know it's been the standard of faith for the entirety of Christian history, the majority of Christian history, and that I am on the wrong side. I am at odds with my historic Christian faith. But I can't, I don't know what it is to keep me from just simply believing. That last obstacle, I don't know what it is. I was wondering if you could help me figure it out.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I can, Aaron, because often when you get down to that one thing, and I've heard actually that again and again, that there's that one and you sort of just have to take the step and maybe, go with it and see what happens. But you know what? Let me just share my story with you a little bit and see if that helps. The two things really that got me to accepting the Eucharist. And for me, the Eucharist was ultimately the thing. I went like, if that's the real presence, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus, then I got to become Catholic. Everything else was sort of secondary. I thought, if they're right about that, I got to go. If they're not, I can take it or leave it. And frankly, I did a whole talk on this. I'll try to have it online here actually pretty soon for you. As the first and foremost treasure of the faith and the thing that brings, I think, most people into the faith. But for me, it was two things. One was the whole materialism deal. I realized that it was only my materialistic presuppositions that were keeping me from believing that. And I would add, Aaron, that it's not – our materialism isn't a result of, you know, the Renaissance or any sort of thing. Actually, I think it goes back to the Reformation, that the Renaissance and materialism is more a result of the Reformation than the other way around, frankly. But, you know, we can talk about that later. The second thing, and this was the bigger one for me, was understanding the Exodus story. So I was, you know, a Bible guy. I loved preaching through the Bible. The Exodus was like a huge turning point for me when I preached through that whole book. And I realized that, you know, the Exodus, of course, is the story of redemption, right? It's really the story of reality, that we are slaves to sin and to Satan in the same way that the Israelites were slaves to Pharaoh, and that we need to go out under the blood of the Lamb and through the waters of baptism, which is the Red Sea, and across the wilderness to the promised land, which is heaven. I mean, the whole thing is redemption, right? Redemptive history. And when I realized that in that Exodus story, Jesus, as the bread of life and the lamb and the water from the rock, shows up very clearly in that story, right? So, of course, he's the Passover lamb. I think even, you know, Baptists were going to get that, right? But what did you have to do to the Passover lamb? Not just put that blood over the door, but actually eat the lamb. That was actually a bigger part of the Passover than putting the blood over. Very clear and extensive directions about how to eat that lamb for your sustenance. And then after they did that, in order to get across the wilderness. It wasn't a, you know, once saved, always saved kind of thing. It wasn't like show up at the Red Sea and then God just gives you your passport or your card and you're like, I'll see you in the promised land. He's like, no, you got to wander. I'm going to form and shape you. And to get you across the wilderness, here's what I'm going to provide you. The manna from heaven and the water from the rock. And Paul in Corinthians, especially in Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, very clear that those things are Jesus. And what did you have to do with those things? Every day you had to partake of the manna and drink of that water, or you were not going to get across the wilderness. And I combined that with my materialism, and I thought, yeah, that makes total sense. And the Jews certainly did not understand that in an abstract way, right? When they celebrated the Passover and when they thought back to the wilderness wanderings, they were partaking. Like you enter into a Passover celebration. You don't just remember it. And when I thought, okay, what happens at the Eucharist? It's not just a remembrance thing. It's not just a psychological sort of, you know, object lesson. You enter into the very sacrifice of Jesus, and he's your sustenance. And I thought, yeah, if I'm going to be what the Jews were, right, as the fulfillment, then the Eucharist makes total sense, and what I've been doing certainly does not. And so, Aaron, that's, you know, take that for what it's worth. That's what helped me. I'm not sure in your situation, but hopefully it helps a little bit.
Aaron, thanks very, very much for that call. 888-31-TRUTH is our number. 888-318-7884 is our number. That's a powerful thing that you just did there, Don, using the Hebrew scriptures, which I think any Christian or any, you know, relatively mainstream Christian would say, yes, there's many prefigurings of Christ in the Hebrew scriptures. But then you look at it and say, okay, then how does it prefigure Christ? And the lamb, like you said, isn't just killed, but eaten. And God is the one who feeds us. And that the proper way to understand the fulfillment of that is that he feeds us himself.
Yeah, he doesn't, you know, you look back at the Jewish scriptures, and as an evangelical, I would look back, say, oh, those Jews had to do everything very physically. You know, it was a very sort of sacramental worldview, right? I mean, they didn't just think about killing the lamb. You actually had to get the blood on your fingers and put, I mean, they didn't just look back and think of these things. It wasn't an abstract thing.
Right.
They were physically doing all this stuff. And I thought, when did God change? You know, when did God not become sacramental? When did he actually not start feeding us physically?
Yeah.
It never happened, Si. It never happened. I mean,
right.
to think that way is to really undermine the whole incarnation, I think. Like, did Jesus come as a human person or not? Did he have a body that was killed or not? I mean, to start getting too ethereal and too abstract and take away the physicalness of it, I think is a huge problem within the non-Catholic world.
Yeah. When you think of Jesus, like so many physical touch, or you think of how, in a way to us, how gross it is the way he heals the blind man by spitting on the ground and making mud and putting it on his eyes and all that. These physical things are not just add-ons or pointers. They're part of how God does his business.
Yeah, totally. That was a huge revelation for me when I realized that it was really a worldview thing, ultimately, that was keeping me from the church.
Don Johnson is our guest. Look for his movie coming out this summer that Mark Brumley has seen the rough cut of, but I have not seen the rough cut of. I'm not complaining so much as just whining about that. But I do think what an important year it was 50 years ago, 1968. And what an important year it is now to remember what happened and continue to keep formulating films, movies, books that give a fully Catholic response to the sexual revolution. We'll be right back with more Roadblocks to the Faith with Don Johnson after this on Catholic Answers Live.
We're here for you. Give us a call today on Catholic Answers Live.
We struggle with sin. We're distracted in prayer. We find it hard to be loving and easy to be selfish. Thankfully, the Church has given us Lent, the perfect time for reform, of reconversion to God and His will for us. The saints of the Counter-Reformation faced greater obstacles than these, yet they each found the grace to persevere during a tumultuous time in the Church. How can we do the same? Reform yourself is a good place to start. We all need to reform our souls. This Lent, let the saints who reformed the Church show you how. Order your copy of Reform Yourself today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Can you trust the basis of the Christian faith? The Christian faith is under constant attack today in numerous ways, but the attack that does the most damage is the one that asks a deceptively simple question. What if your faith is based on a myth? The skeptics come with arguments to cast doubt in numerous ways, often attacking the reliability of the New Testament and the Gospels. And the sad news is that most people don't know how to answer these charges. The good news is that there are answers to each and every one of them. Good, solid answers. That's why Catholic Answers Studios has just released Jimmy Akin's new DVD, The Dawn of Christian History. With his characteristic wit and passion as a master storyteller, Jimmy takes you through an exciting detective story that reveals how history supports the Christian faith. Order your copy of The Dawn of Christian History today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Janet Benkovic.
Did you know that I had been away from the Catholic faith for 10 years? I credit my grandmother's rosary for bringing me back home to our Holy Catholic Church. She had 13 grandchildren and prayed a rosary each day for each one of us. That's 13 rosaries a day. I know that it was Grandma's rosary that tilled the soil of my hardened heart to eventually bring me back to our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life.
Women of Grace with Janet Benkovic, Monday through Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Don Johnson is our guest. Our topic, Roadblocks to the Faith. If you're facing a roadblock to the faith, or if you know someone who needs some roadblocks removed to the faith, give us a call, 888-318-7884. We go now to Tony in Pensacola, Florida, listening on the Catholic Answers app, which means Tony is super smart. Tony, your question for Don.
What's up, Cy? Don Johnson. Good day to you, sir.
Hey, Tony.
So one of the obstacles is the distractions are so loud. I'm talking namely Hollywood because you're a filmmaker. So my question is, as a filmmaker, do you see the value in and can you conceive of a decent movie or series of movies like the What If series, okay, that goes back into a certain period of time, maybe Roe versus Wade, maybe maybe Martin Luther, maybe 2020 presidential election, you know, maybe the founding of our country, sometime in history, and then show realistically what could have happened had we actually acted like Christians, and how society, how culture could be today had we made subtle changes and over a couple of generations actually made a difference where we could have the kind of life that we're promised right here on Earth. People might not believe it, but at least they could see it.
Can you make it, Don? That's the question. Can you make that movie?
Well, I don't know if we have. I don't think we have a movie where you have a completely Christian culture, right? Because then it would probably strike us as a bit of a boring movie. Because, you know, to make an exciting movie, you need some conflict, you need some sin, you need some problems to overcome, and this, you're talking about basically an unfallen world. Having said that, though, I actually think that a lot of the movies and a lot of Hollywood movies that don't claim to be Christian, I mean, they show what Christian culture would look like in the sense that the hero, at least in a good movie, is often the one that lives self-sacrificially for the good of another, right? Like, that's generally what heroes do, at least classically in film, is that they give of themselves. It's always the, you know, at the end, they're going to give up their life so the rest of the people can live. I mean, it's the people that act like Jesus that are the living out the true Christian life in any movie. And generally, most good movies are sort of the Christian story, right? You've got a bad person representing evil and Satan, a dragon or whatever, and then you've got the good people, the hero who sacrifices himself for good. And so, yeah, the more people you have in a movie that sacrifice for the good of others, and essentially what I'm saying there is love, right? That's love. It's not the emotion. It's sacrificing for the good of another. The clearer of a Christian movie you have. To your point about, you know, as Christians in the culture, what does that look like? I mean, Tony, we need more people who are giving them of themselves for the good of others, and less people who are carrying a Christian mantle yet hating, and they're so angry, and they're just mean, nasty people, yet doing it in the name of Christianity or the church or even Jesus sometimes. I mean, it's disgusting. So in that sense, I'm with you. We got a lot of issues in our culture, and a large number of them are caused by people carrying a Christian mantle and then not loving other people. So that would be my thing. Let's have more love. You know, what the world needs is love. Si, and then
I remember, wait, who was it that said that?
What?
It was that song. There was a song in the 60s.
The Dixie
the world
Chicks?
Leaves now is love, sweet love. Now I can't remember who that was that did that. It wasn't Marvin Hamlish. All right. Well, anyway, Tony, thanks very much for that call. So I guess the answer is no. Don's not good enough to make a movie about that. Is that what I'm just summing up, Don.
Okay, so I'll put in a quick plug, since you know I don't ask permission to do this, Si. So my new movie we've been talking about, it's called Unprotected, unprotectedfilm.com. Please go watch the trailer and support it if you would like to see it reach more and more people. But it is a love story. I mean, ultimately, it's the story of the sexual revolution. But as you know, all good stories have three acts, Si. And if the first one is the trouble and the second one is a failed attempt to fix the trouble, basically, I'll give you a little spoiler here. The start of the sexual revolution was a bunch of women who longed for something more in their lives. They tried to find it in sex and careers and not family, and it failed. But the third act, we're actually living in the third act right now, Si, and I believe that the hero of that story, of course, is Jesus, but he used a guy by the name of John Paul II to really push his agenda along.
That guy, yeah.
the theology of the body. He sort of rides in with a white hat. And so I'm actually making a movie about what this looks like and the revolution of love that happens. And so the other answer to your question, Tony, is yes, I'm making that movie right now. Come watch it when it comes out in July. How do you like that, Si? Do you see
that? That was nice. Yeah, you're supposed to ask permission before you plug stuff like that. And so my hand was on the mute button the whole time. None of that went out.
Okay.
That was all muted, every bit of it. Cody in Houston, Texas, you are on with Don Johnson. Your question, please.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good, thank you.
I am actually calling because I am a convert to the faith. I converted in my 20s. I've been a Catholic for about 15 years. I grew up in a very non-Catholic, anti-Catholic family. My dad came out of the Christian Science, Mary Baker Eddy movement. My older brother went very deep into Reform Presbyterianism, very Calvinist-based, tulip, 5 points, everything. And in my family, we've had huge arguments. And, you know, I like to say that I was loving and kind about all of it, but I argued and fought and screamed and, you know, went through all of it. And over the years, I've grown very developed in understanding Catholicism and the teachings and the dogmas. But when it comes to that family relationship, it's really broken at this point. I mean, it's to the point I can't even talk to my dad or my brothers or without it leading to these like fights. And how do you approach someone, especially in the sense of like with my dad, with Mary Baker Eddy, he very much believes that our physical reality only exists because of sin. That was something that she taught in her works. And he believes it very much. And that when we feel physical ailment and we get sick, it's because of our sin. And I try so many ways to approach things like that. And yet, it just seems to lead to bigger, better, harder arguments.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Fair enough, Cody. Yeah. Don?
Yeah, so a couple things, Cody. So it sounds like the family, your dad, your brother, their issues with you, they'd have similar issues if you had become a Wesleyan, I assume, or something, right? Like it's not necessarily a particularly Catholic thing. Is that correct? So it's just like it sounds like your family just argues over religion in general.
Well, in a sense, but Catholicism is definitely pretty hard targeted, especially by my dad. The authority of the church is a huge one for him. He doesn't believe that, you know, there should be a papacy. He believes that all authority comes from Jesus Christ, and that he has this feeling like, you know, everyone receives the Holy Spirit. He doesn't think that it was just like through the laying on of hands. So
okay.
Stuff like that in Catholicism really gets them going. The respect we give to Mary, it's way too much for him. Stuff like that.
Sure. Sure. I mean, on one hand, I would my first inclination is just to say you don't actually have to talk with them about it. You guys all believe different things, and that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to discuss it with them. Now, and I know that sounds kind of weird, but families are a unique entity. And, you know, Cy and I were talking during the break about the devil loves to break down families and to cause division and to really make people hurt each other. And I suspect that healing relationships, even at the cost of winning arguments, is going to do a lot more ultimately for the truth of Catholicism and the life of Jesus within you than having those arguments, especially with family. Now, I'm not saying don't ever have a discussion with family, but I know in my position, I talk about the faith a lot less with family members and people in general than I used to, not because I don't think I'm right or that anybody has really changed their mind, but I value the relationship more than the argument. And again, this is not to say the truth doesn't matter, that we don't want them to become Catholics, but there's a time and a place. And so I just feel like be careful with family relationships. You don't want to be in a situation where, you know, you don't talk to somebody for 3 or 4 years because of some blow up you had. I can't imagine that's, you know, what Jesus would want in those situations. So that's sort of my first thing. I mean, if you have to back down on some of that and not take the loss in the sense of, you know, you admitting you're wrong, but, you know, emotionally sometimes we have to, I think, take the loss. Like, okay, I'm not going to fight with you over this at this point because I love you too much for that sort of thing.
Cody, how does that strike you?
Well, I've actually tried that. And what gets me over the years, though, is I'm a father of 3 kids. My wife and I homeschool those kids in a Catholic homeschooling program. And every time my dad or my brother comes around, they work to physically, and they literally go out of their way to work to undermine that homeschooling, to undermine the education that we're giving to our children, to undermine what my wife and I have been doing. And, you know, my oldest is only six, so that's a very impressionable age, especially to have grandpa.
No, they can't do that.
Over
that's
trying
right.
to undermine. And,
no, Cody, totally. That's not permissible to come and undermine that. Your relationship with your children.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Cy completely on that one, Cody. No, that's not permissible. And and if that means in that case, I mean, of course, Cy is right on this. In that case, then you do say no, you can't come over.
You gotta meet them on neutral ground or something,
right? But sure,
yeah,
it's up to you. It's you raise the kids, absolutely. So. That's an excellent illustration of where there would have to be hard boundaries drawn, I think.
888-31-TRUTH is our number. Thanks very much for that call. Cody, we got to go now because we got to take a quick break. More of your calls for Don Johnson on roadblocks to the faith and removing those roadblocks when we come back after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
50 years ago, Blessed Pope Paul VI released his encyclical Humanae Vitae, reaffirming the Catholic Church's condemnation of contraception. Catholic Answers Magazine is marking the anniversary with a very special issue delving deep into what is arguably one of the Church's most controversial documents in modern times. Want to be sure to get your copy? Subscribe right now to the best Catholic apologetics magazine anywhere by calling 818-487-2011 or by going to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. Don't miss out on what will be a virtual handbook on the most important aspects of Paul VI's profound and prophetic document. Don't wait another moment to subscribe. Call 818-487-2011 or go to the shop at Catholic.com right now to get subscriptions for yourself and those you love. Share the faith. Defend the faith. Catholic Answers Magazine from Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? The good news is that now there is. Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking resource by apologist Trent Horn. That one book you can hand to anyone as a starting point for helping them find their way into, or back to, the practice of the Catholic faith. This Lent, plant seeds of faith in the hearts and minds of your non-Catholic friends and family. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today. You can order your copies of Why We're Catholic by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Yeah, you're experiencing some roadblocks to faith in Jesus Christ, in his church, in holy things, in God. Today's the day for you. Or maybe it's a family member, someone that maybe a child that has experienced roadblocks to the faith and you'd like some help in how to address that. 888-318-7884 is the number. Don Johnson is our guest, and we go now to Carl in Dallas, Texas. Carl, you are on with Don Johnson. Your question, please.
Don, I'm a teacher, and the students that I have are pretty much immersed in some flavor of Marxism. And I would like to be able to talk to them about the soul in some way that doesn't require a very sophisticated understanding of Aristotle or St. Thomas or some fairly, you know, arcane mind-body question. How would you begin to talk to them about the fact that they just may have a soul?
Good, Carl. So let me clarify what I think I hear you saying. So when you say they're indoctrinated in Marxism, the key point there, I take it, in regards to our discussion would be the fact of materialism. They believe that there is no sort of supernatural realm to life, that matter is all there is. That we are bodies. Is that sort of the point you want to try to break down?
And also that the salvation is correcting our society. So the meme of all their fantasy is if we correct the world around us, we'll be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's what I would do, Carl. I'd really focus on the idea of matter is all there is, and just help them to think through that basic claim, because there's a lot of ramifications that go with that, none of which they will ultimately either be able to admit to or want to admit to. And it ultimately undermines even their efforts to correct the world. So just stick with me here. Let me walk you through this. So the idea that matter is all there is, that everything is particles, that, you know, in the beginning, whatever happened there, the particles bounced among each other, and you had a chain reaction, and that chain reaction continued and continued and continued and continues today with everything you see. So everything that you see, touch, think about, all of those things can be reduced to a chemical chain reaction, a physical chain reaction that started whenever it started, right? And if that's the case, then certain things flow from that, right? One of which is that we don't really, let me put it this way, that we live in ways that aren't actually true, that we're wrong about a bunch of things. For instance, free will, right? Like, it seems like we make decisions every day and that we have the ability to choose between two options. But ultimately, if we do live in a closed system where matter is all there is and everything's the long, you know, cause and effect chain, we don't actually have free will. We are just biological mechanisms responding to whatever happened before, which was a response all the way down the line, right? So you may have thought you ate Cheerios instead of cornflakes this morning. You actually didn't. And indeed, there's actually no you there. Because what are you? You're just an illusion yourself. This whole idea of selfhood is an illusion, because ultimately you're just matter, and everything's just matter, and it's all just banging together. And so all that sort of stuff is an illusion. Now, things that go with that, things like love are an illusion, because love requires free will. Things like morality are an illusion within that worldview. There is no such thing as good and evil. Like, what would be good and what would be evil? Pleasure, pain, but really, I mean, what's the difference between those two things if it's just a closed system of cause and effect and a chain reaction? And so what we have in that system is basically just a bunch of particles banging around each other. No such thing as love, no such thing as free will, no such thing as morality. I would then ask them, what do you mean by making the world better, and what makes you think that you can do it, because you is an illusion? Like, I would go down that road, Carl. Like, just start to undermine the very basis of all the things that they are, you know, trying to achieve in their life, and say, does that really make sense? Like, is that really where the evidence points? Like, do we really think that things like love and morality and all these things are an illusion? If that's the case, okay, but don't then come to me and tell me you're going to make the world a better place. What I would suggest, and this is, you know, what C.S. Lewis did in a lot of his work, obviously, is he starts with the premise that, you know what, morality is a real thing. And if morality is a real thing, then, and he goes down the line, but then materialism is false, right? We've even got atheistic philosophers, the name escapes me right now, but maybe he'll, oh no, we don't have another break. All right, bring it up. Atheistic philosophers are undermining materialism these days for this very reason, that it simply doesn't account for things like morality and self and love and all of these things, consciousness. And so I would just take the very, doctrines, if you will, of Marxism, especially the materialism, and say, if this is true, there's certain ramifications, and those ramifications are not supported by evidence. Therefore, I think materialism is true. So a little bit of a roundabout way to go, but that's generally how I go.
Carl, I'd really like to hear what you think about that.
I really like the attack on the person, because I think you're taking something that has a great emotional value to them, which is their personhood and great. It's kind of at the core, you know, it's kind of the ground of their being is their personhood, and so to take that away, I think is a valuable way to start. I like it.
All right. I think one of those philosophers you were thinking about there, Don, might be Thomas Nagel.
That's exactly who I was talking about.
Yeah, Mind and Cosmos.
Right.
He's most famous for writing that essay in the 70s, What Is It Like to Be a Bat? Which is just a magnificent philosophical essay, but Mind and Cosmos in 2012, he just demolishes this idea that materialism as it's currently understood could explain consciousness. And he's an atheist.
Yeah, he's an atheist. That's the thing. Like, but he says materialism simply cannot account for our experience. And so we must find a different worldview. And I mean, he's not, yeah, like you said, he's no Christian, right? He's not even a religious believer at all.
Right.
But he understands that materialism can't stand. And so that's, I mean, I think we do that. It's sort of like I started out the program side talking about the materialism of a lot of Protestant believers, that it actually seeps into Protestant thinking a lot. The reductionist, it's a very reductionistic worldview, right? Yeah. Materialism. Everything is just and only. You know, you think that you're a person, but you're just basically a machine. You know, you're just the result of blind, meaningless chain reaction that goes back forever. And the just and only is not, the evidence doesn't support that. And so undermining a person's worldview. And in fact, if you look at why people convert, often it's because their current worldview gets undermined, not necessarily by other people, you know, not necessarily by an apologist.
Something happens. Right.
Yeah. Like I have a child, you know, Jennifer Fulweiler is a great example of this in her story. She says, I had a baby. Here she was, this hardcore atheist, very material minded, right? Not in the money sense, but in the, like, yeah, matter's all there is. She held her baby for the first time and says, you know what? First of all, I do not believe this is another blob of matter. I simply do not buy that. Nor do I think what I am experiencing right now, this love, what I want to give to this child, all of that, nor do I think that's the end result of blind, meaningless processes. I just don't think the evidence supports that. It was the first step on her road to entering the Catholic Church.
It does seem like a lot of your strategy for helping people through the roadblocks is that we ask better questions, that we find out where they are and what they're you know, where they're coming from, where they're currently located, you know, in the map of possible understandings of the world, and then we ask questions about whether that's really a sustainable worldview.
That's exactly step number one. In fact, I think we do a couple of things. One, we start talking to people who don't actually exist, right? Like we make a bunch of assumptions about that person,
right,
and start addressing that. You know, I assume if you're an anti-Catholic, you're this, when it's really they don't hold any of those beliefs, right? So that we do, you know, take that sort of wrong step at the beginning. And then we end up speaking past each other to the extent that we never really communicate at all. Like, you have to figure out where a person is, or you can't, you know, you can't start even the journey, I don't think.
Let's see if we can get a real quick question in before. I was going to go to that call, but the call is not there at the moment. So I will ask you this. Tell us again about the movie when it comes out. But also, you mentioned Jennifer Fulweiler. She was in the movie Convinced, and that is actually a good movie if you're experiencing roadblocks to the faith. I would say Convinced is a very good. That's the movie to see.
Oh, I totally agree. You know, and I just got an email yesterday from a lady. I'm not sure where she was from, but she sent me this nice email because she's entering the church here at the Easter Vigil in what, 2 weeks now? Less than 2 weeks now, right? And she said, here's how I saw it. He said, Don, I saw you on the journey home, of course, on EWTN, and you talked about this movie Convinced. And so I went and I purchased the movie and watched it, convincedmovie.com, by the way. And she says, I was so fascinated that I watched it again. I took notes. And then I went and purchased several of the books from the people that were in the movie.
Oh,
so people
great.
Like David Curry and Jennifer Fulweiler and all these people.
Yeah, right. Devin Rose
and
is in there.
And then she says, my husband was overseas. I sent him the movie, a digital download, while he watched it. He started reading the books. She says, both of us are coming into the church this Easter Vigil.
Praise
thanks
God.
To you and all of those people in the movie. So I agree. It's a very Easter type movie, convincedmovie.com.
So you're saying if people buy your movie, everything in their life will get better. Is that what you're
saying?
I have my suspicions, Don. John Johnson is our guest. We'll have you on again this summer, John. Don, I want to hear I want to hear about that movie. Thank you so much for being with us and for a great hour, Don.
Always good to talk to you, Si. Thank you.
Tomorrow, don't forget, open forum both hours. Any question that you have. And I apologize if we didn't get to your question today, but open forum means just 22 hours from now, you have another chance to ask that question. Just give us a call then. Also, don't forget the brand new, or not brand new, but the upcoming issue of Catholic Answers Magazine on Umane Vitae. If you want to get it, go to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. Subscribe. You get a discount on the subscription, and you get really one of the finest issues of a Catholic magazine you're going to ever see. See you tomorrow, God willing, on Catholic Answers Live.